But I've been blessed, you know, over a 10-year period of time, in, I would say, one, two, three, at least three countries in the world, I helped to contribute to the growth and development of more million-dollar-plus speakers, trainers, coaches, consultants, teachers than anybody else in the industry. I've got many. I'm talking about in Australia, in New Zealand, and in Ireland, were the three major areas there. And in the UK, I'm probably on par with the other. There was one other person that was really contributing a lot, but we made a huge impact. And I get to see my students every day. You know, I had developed the reputation of being the teacher of teachers, and I get to see my students every day running the biggest personal development companies in the world, and teaching for the biggest companies in the world, and being in charge of coaching for the biggest companies in the world, and having launched their own million-dollar-plus businesses. There's more that exist out there in Australia that have come from my school, I think, than any place else. The largest company, a personal development company in the world, is staffed with people that have been through my trainings and that I developed. All of their staff and their crew and their teachers and their coaches. And for me, that's it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have been able to contribute to so many people's lives. And have we had success? Have I developed a millionaire? we've done a lot.
So there are very specific results that you can point to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got, you take Phil Anderson. He came through and he was managing a health club when he was coming into our programs. And he said he couldn't see getting out of the day-to-day operations because he was just so bogged down with the day-to-day things to actually get out there and do the things he wanted to do. And he didn't just do one program. He did all our programs. It's like the person that gets the black belt isn't the person who, watched the DVD, The Secret of the Martial Arts, or read the book, The Secret of the Martial Arts. It's the person who lived at the dojo, that's who gets the black belt first. So it's saturation, immersion, and you keep going. And when do you stop? Never.
As my favorite teacher says, excuse me, Chris, is you have to fall in love with it. Neville Goddard, you have to fall in love with your passion, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
I'm in alignment with you on Neville, too. He's my favorite writer, favorite author. Jorge and Gracie actually said that to me about martial arts as well. He said, Chris, he says it in his Portuguese. He's like, Chris, you don't have to memorize jiu-jitsu, Chris. You just have to love it.
Right. There you go. And I want to challenge this city right now, since you've made more millionaires in Australia. Maybe we can start a trend here in New York.
Wouldn't that
and
be
surpass
nice?
Australia. 212-209-2950. That's the voice of Chris Howard. You're listening to me. I'm Tony Bates. And, of course, Corinne Vernari, you just heard her voice a moment ago. We're raising money for WBAI, and we are offering you an incredibly powerful transformational opportunity. I don't even want to say package. This is an opportunity, folks. It is an opportunity to seize the momentum of your life and direct it to the point you want it to go. 212-209-2950. We accept American Express, MasterCard, Visa. Your legendary breakthrough with Chris Howard. It's a 6-week online course that you'll be taking. You can also take it by teleconference for a pledge of just $150. But that's not all that's in the package. You will also receive Legendary Living Daily. That's a daily inspirational message to remind you to continue on your path. You will get the Millionaire Business Propulsion Program with Chris Howard. This is to focus on your business and to upgrade it and move it forward. You will get a private session with Chris Howard, which when he was on the road was valued at $10,000 by itself. You will also receive two tickets, not one, two tickets. Now, normally these tickets are valued at $2,500 each. The tickets alone are worth $5,000 to Chris's Legendary Living Live. That will be held here in New York, a 2-day event where you will go through this legendary living breakthrough process with Chris Howard in person. You cannot go wrong. Get on the phone now. Make that pledge of support. 212-209-2950. That's the phone number to call to take charge of your health, to take charge of your life, to take charge of the direction you want to move in. 212-209-2950.
That's 212-209-2950. 0 or give, G-I-V-E, the number 2, WBAI.org for a monthly contribution. Easy to do, painless, and supports WBAI better than anything that you can do. We get a monthly donation that you won't even notice. $20 a month, $40 a month, $50 a month, whatever you can afford, and really doesn't stress your budget. But remember, the basis of receiving, the basis of enriching your life is gratitude and giving and supporting those who give to you. And that's what WBAI does. It gives to you every single day, 24/7. The number to call, 212-209-2950. And I'm looking over this list here. I'm looking over discipline. Guess what? WBAI's got it. We're here 24/7, 55 years. I'm looking commitment. WBAI's got it. We've got commitment to you. That commitment is to you, to give you full picture, the full picture, and then you can make up your own mind. We don't talk down to you. We work to bring you up, and that's what this seminar is all about. It's to help you visualize your dreams and then create a structure so you can walk on up and create them. This is an empowering seminar. And like I said, I'm going to be there. My husband will be there. The number to call, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We want those phones ringing. We deserve it. We deserve it. We deserve the support. Take Charge of Your Health deserves the support. WBAI deserves the support. And a tremendous shout out of gratitude to Chris Howard for offering this to us and allowing us to present this in such an amazingly generous way. When Tony told me about this premium, first of all, I'm all excited, and I said, no, you're mistaken. You're exaggerating. You're exaggerating, Tony. 212-209-2950. We want those lines ringing. I would love to share this opportunity with you. I would love to hold your hand in a group. I would love for you to share with me, to help me make my life better also. It's a give and it's a take. It's not only one way. And ignite your passion and create your dreams. Ignite your passion and create your dreams. So many people are so afraid of their passion. And that's what this seminar is all about. Passion, curiosity, and creating change, and living in a changing world. The number to call, 212-209-2950, $150, and you get this amazing premium package.
Again, Corinne, the Legendary Living Live the weekend is worth $2,500 per ticket, and you're going to receive two of those. It's not just the $150 is getting you not
amazing.
One of those. Two of those tickets.
This is worth the Christmas
this event.
Gift to
this
my sister.
Is, oh, that's a grand plan. I mean, that's a great
this
idea.
Is really
maybe you want to
special.
Gift this stuff during this
really
season.
Really special. But make sure you come also.
That's right. 212-209-2950. What are we offering you for the $150 pledge? Well, we're offering you your Legendary Breakthrough. Your Legendary Breakthrough is a 6-week course with Chris Howard. And the second part of that is the Legendary Living Daily. With Legendary Living Daily, you'll receive a daily message to encourage you. The third part of the program is the Millionaire Business Propulsion Program. That's Chris focusing on your business, using tools to develop and to forward your business. Number four, you get a private session with Chris Howard. That alone is worth your $150 pledge. And then the legendary Living Live event, 212-209-2950. Folks, we've got to raise another $2,000 before the top of this hour. And that means we need to get about
that.
15 people on
we
the line right now. We can
do
that very easily. 212-209-2950. Call us and pledge at that $150 level. Take advantage of this opportunity. There's only a few minutes left in this program to do that, folks, to take advantage of this opportunity. We have just a few minutes. Don't let this pass you by. This is a college of self-help information, and it isn't something that you're going to read and put on your shelf. You're going to do a six-week program with other listeners online, step by step. You'll all be taking the same steps. Let's challenge Australia. Let's make Chris Howard millionaires right here in New York City. 212-209-2950. Have the courage to pick up the phone and make that call.
2950. 212-209-2950. We're challenging you to take steps to make your life better. That's pretty exciting. We're challenging you to take steps to support WBAI, and we're challenging you to take steps to support Take Charge of Your Health. The number to call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We need more calls. We deserve more calls. We need more calls. And we want to share this with you. That's the exciting part.
Indeed.
Is we want to share this with you. We want to share a relationship of transformation. We want to share a different level of competency that you never really tapped into yet. And it's there. It's there inside of you. It's inside of you, tucked right underneath your passion.
Get it out right now.
Exactly. Pull it out and walk over to the phone. The number to call, 212-209-2950. Or go on the internet, type in give and the number 2, WBAI.org, and put your name in and sign up for this revolutionary premium that is your legendary breakthroughs. And
that's the 6-week program.
That's
of
the
course.
6-week program. I mean, how much would you pay for a 6-week program?
Right, transform your life.
That can transform your life. That is amazing. Then Legendary Living Daily, where you're getting daily reminders for a year. That's amazing. Actually, that's amazing. And then 3, the Millionaire Propulsion Program. So it really takes you to another level, directs you, gives you a scaffolding, gives you a way that you can, if you choose, create your business and bring it to another level. And then number 4, which is all of these are amazing, but this is priceless, a private session with Chris Howard. That's amazing. And then a 2.5-day Legendary Living Live. That's fabulous, where together you put your energies together in a group, and then you focus your energies. And what are you there for? You're there to learn, to grow. You're curious, you're committed, you're impassioned, and you're there to move your life forward. What a wonderful place to be.
Absolutely. Chris Howard, we're going to give you about 60 seconds here to say some final words to the audience before we wrap this up.
Well, I would say, you know, make the contribution, because you're contributing to your own dreams when you contribute to the station. And it's a co-op, like we said before. So the only reason why we exist is because of you. So don't think that somebody else is going to do it. Do it yourself. And also remember that you're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for the people around you, because your children, they'll listen to what you say, but they watch what you do. They watch how you live. So
that's
when you
so
invest
true.
In this, you're investing in your children and your children's children's and children's and generations and generations to come. So you're your best investment. You're worth investing in, and the station's worth investing in. So pick up the phone, make your call, And I look forward to seeing you very soon in the programs that we're doing. And thank you guys so much for having me on the air.
Thank you for being with us today, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
212-209-2950 is the phone number to call. We have just about 2 minutes.
My earth, rain in the morning.
want to welcome you. You are listening to a live radio show here at midnight at WBAI 99.5 FM. And this is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And I'm Catherine Davis in studio with the one and only. Okay, say that again.
Paulette Spencer.
That's better.
That's much better.
It helps to turn the microphone on. there are four slides here for the microphone. I had the first three up. Considering you're right next to me, it seemed like it should have been covered. But no, it was the very fourth, the furthest one is there. Okay, but we are here in studio, and that is a wonderful thing on this evening of Wednesday, if you think of it as Wednesday midnight. Some of us think of it as Thursday morning, and it doesn't matter because we are Earth, on Earth, at midnight. And we actually have a very special program for you. We are in fundraising, but we have something that's brand new. You'll be hearing it for the very first time today, and I'll allow its producer, Paulette Spencer, to introduce the segment.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce this as my very first attempt at a premium, which I hope that you will all find informative and as interesting as I found making it. Today we are pleased to introduce Nuclear Space. And what this is, it's two interviews that I conducted with peace activists from the nuclear field and also from the field of anti-war, anti-military war from space. And we're happy to present this two interview package for you for the price of $50. I interviewed Mr. Bruce Gagnon, who is the founder and coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. He has more than 30 years of experience in the field of protecting the space environment from the arms race. His organization came into existence shortly, I think in 1992, and he is a quite fervent and knowledgeable man about public policy when it comes to missile defense. The second person who we're going to hear from is Mr. Arne Gundersen, who is an analyst, a nuclear analyst with the Fairwinds Associates, and the Fairwinds Associates is a 501c3 organization that specializes in educating the public about nuclear energy. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to play a few clips of these for you, and of course we're going to ask you to call in and to please support the station, because remember that conversations like this come very seldom. You won't hear this on mainstream media, because we're going to be discussing topics such as the Strategic Space Command in Nebraska, the Pentagon's white paper entitled "In a Militaristic Way." The reason you won't hear about this elsewhere is that BAI is not beholden to weapons corporations like many other outlets are. And so this is quite special. We can say what we want to say, as long as it's accurate. With Mr. Gundersen, he has a lot to enlighten us about the follow-up since the nuclear accident in Fukushima, Japan. He, as you will probably remember, was on the air quite often with Robert Knight, discussing the aftermath of the accident. And what I did is I did a bit of a follow-up, and we discuss what the Japanese government has been doing the effects of the accident on the health of the local people and how that actually can travel across the globe and what effects that has here. Because remember, at the end of the day, we're all one Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theme behind this, the overarching theme, is environmental justice above and below.
Excellent. And the number that you may call, in fact, you can call now, and that way you would save yourself the interruption later. And it's a $50 pledge of support, and the name of the premium is Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. So if you say Nuclear Space, when you make that phone call, 212-209-2950, you will receive your own copy of these exclusive interviews done for Heart of Mind Earth at Midnight here over WBAI. 212-209-2950. And when you make a pledge for this premium, Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon, you're making a statement about what's important in terms of the world, in terms of our dear planet, and what issues need to be paid attention to. It also allows that you're making a statement saying, you know what, I think it's important to support the producers and the work that they're doing behind the scenes to pull the shows together and to create premiums that are homegrown, produced right here at the station, doesn't cost the station money, but helps to raise funds for this radio station. And it is an important station. Whatever people may say about the frick and frack of back and forth, WBAI is an incredible resource. It has been since its inception, and it relies upon you, our listeners, to ensure that we're here for another day. So please make that phone call, 212-209-2950. We are asking for your pledge of $50 to support WBAI, but as a consequence, we thank you with this great producer's gift. And it was, the interviews were done by Paulette Spencer. She did the editing and everything, so it's a homegrown premium that we're offering you, but its content is global and cosmic in nature. So that's what this program is about, Earth at Midnight, Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. It's about caring and connecting through the heart, but also being aware of what's happening in the world so that it can be changed. And we can only get there with your help and your support. 212-209-2950, Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. It's a $50 pledge of support. And, you know, many of you can make that contribution of a $50 pledge. But if it seems like a lot, you could actually break that up into two installments if that works for you. Or you could use one of your cards, credit card or debit cards. They all work the same. And there's yet another choice. You can ask for an invoice and send a check or money order later on. So really, we believe that we can do what we can. Most of us can manage a $50 pledge to WBAI. You become a member for a year or renew your membership. And you have this great CD interview, Nuclear Space, with Gunderson and Gagnon. And we're going to go to the audio tape. Ready to go, right?
Ready to go.
All right, so stay tuned, and we will be back on the other side.
I wanted to start out with an overview of the American Missile Defense System. I understand that the core of the operations take place at the Strategic Command Center in Nebraska.
That's right. STRATCOM, Strategic Command, is now in charge of virtually everything. They're in charge of the NSA spy operations using satellite technology. They're in charge of the nuclear bombers. They're in charge of the nuclear missiles. They're in charge of the Space Command, the U.S. Space Command. So really, they run the whole schmear now. And everything really flows out of there. They have other bases that, of course, have important roles, but STRATCOM, Strategic Command, at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska, they're the big daddies now.
I have read the 1997 document, United States Space Command Vision for 2020, and I was frightened by the prospect of their plan to reserve space for warfare to, quote-unquote, protect military and corporate interests.
Yeah, the Vision for 2020 says that, let me just read a couple passages that I think are important. They say, historically, military forces have evolved to protect national interests and investments, both military and economic. During the rise of sea commerce, nations built navies to protect and enhance their commercial interests. Likewise, space forces will emerge to protect military and commercial national interests and investment in the space medium due to their increasing importance. And then they talk about future trends. Globalization of the world economy will continue with a widening between the haves and the have-nots. And they say basically that we're going to need U.S. control and domination of space and the ability to deny other countries the use of space in order to make sure that both the U.S. and the commercial interests and investments remain on top of the hill. So that is what they've been proceeded ever since 1997, implementing that vision, developing the technologies to make that all happen. And so today, everything that the Pentagon does on the planet below is coordinated by space technology, military satellites, which we now call the triggers for war. And so whether you're troop in the ground, driving around in a Humvee, breaking down doors in the streets of Baghdad, you're hooked up to a satellite with a little computer there inside the Humvee telling you, giving you the high-resolution three-dimensional maps, all hooked up via satellite. So whether you're in a Humvee or in a tank, you're on a boat, on a plane, anything, anywhere on the planet that the military does is now coordinated and directed by space technology. When the U.S. launched the Shock and Awe attack of Iraq in 2003, in the initial attack, 70% of the weapons that were used were delivered to their targets, directed to their targets by military satellites. So again, we call military satellites very expensive to build, very expensive to launch. We call them the triggers for war. Thank you.
So you've just listened to a taste of the interview with Mr. Bruce Gagnon, the founder of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. He had a lot to say, actually, or has a lot to say when it comes to the current administration and how the plan set out by the government in 1997, in the document that he mentions, the U.S. Space Command Vision for 2020, is actually a blueprint that has been followed since that time, 1997.
Wow.
And how, indeed, a lot of what we're seeing in the international arena to surround certain countries are actually taking place as we speak. And for myself, hearing about this document and getting a sense that all of this mystery that, you know, we feel surrounds all of these seemingly irrational behaviors actually have quite a rationality to them, if you understand that this is something that it was planned in 1997. And the aim is to use space as a means for protecting military and commercial interests. And part of the target right now will be, you'll hear, Russia and China.
Wow. Well, that, I do remember the whole weapons in space initiative. Was it Reagan who
first brought it
to the table?
It was Star Wars.
Yeah. So one would have believed that it never made it out of the box, but it seems like it's been implemented quietly behind the scenes. And so you're saying that actual wars that are taking place right now, or maybe not wars, but policies that are taking place right now around the world are based on this document on space?
Yes. This is essentially was a blueprint that was written. It's online. You can find the entire document there. It's the United States Space Command Vision for 2020. Mm-hmm. And what you find in the document is what I found quite startling, frightening language in how they said that their aim is to dominate space and to make sure that other people don't have access to it.
And it's called United States
Space Command Vision for 2020.
I'm going to look it up here. I have my little trusty computer. Is this a big document?
No, it isn't. It's probably less than or roughly 10 pages long.
Okay, well, it's long enough if it documents what's happening in the world today. So this is what we are offering you this morning. And in order to receive this CD with the interviews, you would need to call that number, 212-209-2950, Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. And it is these two interviews, as described by Paulette. We believe that it is worthy of your support, as is WBAI worthy of your support. And this is really something important for all of us to be considering in terms of our moving forward with life on this planet. What could I say? We have to be concerned about things, because otherwise to bring nuclear weapons in space is a little like putting a noose and putting your neck into it. It's kind of what it seems like to me. It's a very dangerous game that's being played with the lives of humanity and all the species on the planet and the planet herself.
Absolutely. And in fact, the notion that space can be ruled, or outer space can be ruled by one nation, is something that flies in the face of several treaties that exist between the U.S. and other countries through the United Nations. And in our next segment, we're going to learn something about those treaties and how, indeed, recently the U.S. came out with a a piece of legislation that now supersedes or attempts to supersede the United Nations Charter by permitting a U.S.-based agency to offer licenses for private corporations to mine asteroids.
So this is very interesting to me, certainly, because it's of the insanity of it all. But this suggests to me that there's a whole nother space program that's not NASA.
Well, a lot of this is coming out of the Strategic Space Command Center, which is in Nebraska, and they are actually the ones who have their finger on the NSA. Let's say, I wouldn't want to use the word spying, but the NSA system to monitor what happens in the country and anything that happens militarily, including the satellites in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that Space Command is central to the Space Command vision for 2020.
Okay, so now I'm very eager to hear the rest of this interview. And I know that you are too. And what we need to do is
ask you to call in.
That's right. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
Clip number 5.
Oh.
Space treaties.
Okay. Let's go with that. All right, we're going to play about the space treaties. Stay tuned. Let's stop that.
That such activity is in direct violation of treaties that the United States has actually ratified. For example, the 1967 Open Space Treaty forbids the use of outer space in such a monopolistic fashion. Indeed, it preserves space as the global commons.
Well, the Outer Space Treaty, yes, says that there should be no weapons of mass destruction in space. The Pentagon today says, hey, look, we don't have any weapons of mass destruction in space. We have essentially weapons of selective destruction, therefore they fall outside the treaty. And because of that, Russia and China for years have been going to the United Nations and saying, look, we need a new treaty, a more extensive treaty, one that is more up to date with the technologies that exist today, so that we can ban all weapons in space, no matter whether they're selective destruction or mass destruction weapons. The U.S. has repeatedly, through Republican and Democrat administrations, including up to the President Obama administration, the U.S. has refused to begin any negotiations for a new treaty. And so, in fact, every year a resolution passes at the United Nations General Assembly. Everybody in the world supports it except for the U.S. and Israel. Those two countries essentially blocking progress for a new treaty. At the same time, the Outer Space Treaty and the Moon Treaty say that nobody can claim ownership of the planetary bodies, the Moon, Mars, the asteroids, etc. But Congress just within the last few days, with the signature of Obama, declared a new law that says our corporations can go and make land claims on asteroids and begin mining them for gold and magnesium and cobalt and other such things, on the Moon and Mars and wherever else they want to go. So they're essentially saying we're going to privatize space, no matter what the United Nations treaties say, and we're going to hand it over to the corporations. And that's why the Obama administration has privatized the whole launch system now, getting more and more private companies like SpaceX involved in the very expensive process of building launchers to go out and to do these kind of things, colonization and mining of the planetary bodies on behalf of corporate interests.
Mr. Bruce Gagnon describing the current efforts to monopolize space actually flies in the face of treaties that this country has had and has ratified many, many years ago, since the 60s and the 70s, with the Open Space Treaty in 1967, and then later the Moon Treaty, which right now is really in danger of no longer existing, since the U.S. has decided that it will, as a single country, allow corporations, only its corporations, to go and mine asteroids. And so this is a very odd time. This is a piece of legislation that I certainly hadn't heard of, and apparently it was signed into law towards the end of 2015.
Wow. Well, okay, so that just lets us know that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes with our government and space exploration, space travel, and space technology, for them to consider that they can go and mine an asteroid. So it explains a lot of what's happening in the foreground, with these satellites going up allegedly to take pictures and, you know, zooming in on different asteroids to see what they look like. And they're sending back these pictures that look very fantastic. But they're really just scoping out these asteroids to see if they want to mine them, to see what minerals may be there, as a means of exploiting beyond the Earth, but to actually exploit space itself. So I have this document, United States Space Command Vision for 2020, and it's interesting, we're getting awfully close to 2020. And this was written what year again?
1997.
And it's very interesting, you know, it's an official document, but the way they put it together to try to make it like very epic, space exploration kind of thing, but it's really just about corporatization and exploitation of space. So we're going to add this document to our CD for those of you who, it's available, but we want to add it because it really does say a lot. And so it's going to be there with the two interviews when you call 212-209-2950, Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. For your pledge of $50, you'll receive both interviews, as well as the document will be on your CD, United States Space Command Vision for 2020.
I would suggest that perhaps it's a good idea to also add some of the legislation so that people can read.
Yes, let's do that.
Indeed.
So that we can really give some of the background material of what's happening. Yes, this bill that was just signed into law.
Yes.
And the
previous treaties mm-hmm. that were in effect.
That have become null and void as a result
basically,
of
yes.
this process. So this is how, you know, what we're seeing is this underhanded exploration and exploitation of space, which may bring untold mayhem to the cosmos, just like exploration that brought all kinds of chaos to Earth. Behind the scenes, no one's supposed to know about this, but you on WBAI do know what's happening in our world to a greater extent than any other listener of media around the world. And so this is brand new stuff. It may have been going on for a while, but it's like an exposure coming into the world, bringing truth to what the powers behind the scene are really doing. The number is 212-209-2950. A pledge of $50 is what we're asking you. You'll receive the interview with the two scientists, activists, and Gunderson and Gagnon. This is so important for us to begin to look at what's truly happening in our world and what's impacting the environment that we live and breathe within. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. Please do make that pledge. We have a lot of clips here for you because there are two interviews, remember. We want to play some of the Gunderson interview as well. So we need your phone calls, 212-209-2950.
And as I mentioned earlier, what makes this unique is that because BAI is not beholden to weapons corporations, we can bring this kind of information to you without fear that anyone's going to turn off the switch on us and you'll no longer hear our voices.
Well, what will turn off the switch is when we don't get phone calls and support. That will turn the switch off.
True.
212-209-2950 is your number to call. But it's true. The fact that we're not taking that corporate dollar makes all the difference in the world. But we do need to ask you for your contribution. The contribution of your dollars make the difference for this radio station. 212-209-2950. Let me slow that down for you. 212-209-2950. Make a pledge of $50 and you'll receive the interviews. You're hearing some of the excerpts in these opening moments of the program, and you will hear more as we go forward. But please make your phone call, 212-209-2950. And we are depending upon you to make these phone calls. You know, once we get past the midnight hour, it becomes more difficult. But nevertheless, we do need to hear your, well, see your phone calls as they come through the call center. We actually get to see it. So please do call, and if certainly, if you want us to thank you, we will. 212-209-2950. If you want to remain anonymous, we understand. But we appreciate your call and your pledge. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. And we are going to go to another clip, play a little bit more music, and as we wait for your phone calls. Again, that's 212-209-2950.
Old pirates, yes, there are I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever redemption song, redemption song. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. Oh, how long shall they kill our prophets while we aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Whoa, won't you help to sing songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption song. Redemption song, redemption song, redemption song. ourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. Whoa, how long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Whoa, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever heard, redemption song, redemption song. Songs of
I would like to carry the conversation further into the realm of the environment. Given the state of our world today in terms of the quality of air we breathe, the elements that we're exposed to, and with the future of the missile defense system and the impending attacks, what effects will that have on the environment?
Well, you know, every time they launch a rocket, it helps punch a hole in the ozone. So number one, just the whole launching of rockets is environmentally dangerous. There are about 1,100 operational satellites in space today, and there have been 3,600 satellites put into space. Not all of them are now operational. There's also the issue of pollution in space. We have to begin to think of space as an environment. There's 23,000 or more pieces of space junk, being space debris, being tracked by the big radar screens inside of the Pentagon at the Space Command. And so much space junk up there now, space debris, that they often have to move things like the International Space Station to another orbit to avoid space junk that is coming dangerously close. So the whole space race in and of itself has turned a pristine environment, if you will, space, into a mess, a garbage dump. You know, it's kind of like the old saying, you know, that it doesn't matter what you pour into the oceans, because a dilution was the solution to pollution. You know, you could pour toxics into rivers and lakes and oceans that would just, it wouldn't have any effect, but now we know better. But we've got to begin to view space in the same way, that we're creating an environmental catastrophe. Some years ago, at a protest I organized at Cape Canaveral, we had a former astronaut, Edgar Mitchell, one of the Apollo astronauts who walked on the moon, the only astronaut to ever come to an anti-war in space protest. And he talked about this idea of space junk, and he said, if we blow up one satellite in space, one country satellite, we're going to create so much space junk that at some point in time, we're going to reach the point that we're not going to be able to launch a rocket off the planet Earth, that we will be literally entombed to the planet because of all this space debris, that it would be like a piranha-filled river, and we won't be able to get through it. And so we're getting awfully close to that now, and there's no way to clean it up. So this environmental concern has to, we have to broaden our, you know, our understanding of the environmental implications of what we're doing currently in space. Thank you.
are listening to WBAI Radio in New York City, 99.5 FM. I'm Catherine Davis with Paulette Spencer, and we are sharing with you a very special production produced by my co-host Paulette Spencer, and we have labeled it Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. Gunderson is G-U-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, and Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N, Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon. So we're going to hear a little bit more from this interview before going on to the next. And but we also must receive your phone calls in that interim. Well, I guess nothing is a must, but we do very much encourage you and hope that you will support this work. 212-209-2950.
And part of my motivation behind doing this was not so much to frighten the bejesus out of people, although I have to admit some of the stuff that I heard kind of made me a bit scared, but I felt that knowledge and education is power. And I truly believe that one can't truly empathize with another person in another country, in another part of the planet, unless you really understand what they're going through. And we are connected. And my hearing about all of these programs that are underway that are global reminded me of that. And as difficult as it is to hear, I personally think it's necessary to hear in order to be an informed citizen.
I was really fascinated by him speaking of astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who very recently transitioned. And he was one of the astronauts who came back with the realization that we are one world, one people. And he had an epiphany in space on the unity of all life on planet Earth. And I found it interesting that he was the one speaking about the junk in space. If we, the United States or any country, gets up there and actually starts exploding things, it will be like having, one of these asteroid belts circling our planet, except it won't be asteroids, it'll be space junk. And then we will be bound to the planet for who knows how many millennia, probably much longer than we can survive being captured on the planet. But so that's really something to give pause. It makes you want to wonder about what's really going on. And I suspect that with this program going on in the background, it says a lot, and it leaves for me a lot of questions over what's really happening in the space program. Because we're talking about the United States Space Command. This is not an entity that we generally hear about. We have all the smoke and mirrors over here on the side where we have NASA. And then here on within the interior of our government is this Space Command. Now, I'm looking at the Space Command, and who's there? Well, granted, this was written some years ago, so the actual people may not be in place, but it's the General of the U.S. Air Force, Commander-in-Chief, signed this document. Lieutenant General USA Commanding has signed this document. The Major General, United States Air Force, the Rear Admiral, the United States Navy Commander. These are the signatures. And it says here, Naval Space Command, 14th Air Force, is apparently the part of the Air Force that is in the space program. And then we have this under Lieutenant General, United States Army Space Command. So we don't really hear about all these space commands that exist behind the scenes while we're getting the smoke and mirrors of what's happening in the NASA program. So this is pretty amazing to me. And then there's the General Estes, Howell Estes, United States Space Command, a four-star general. The increasing reliance of U.S. military forces upon space power, combined with the explosive proliferation of global space capabilities, makes a space vision essential. As stewards for military space, we must be prepared to exploit the advantages of a space medium. The vision serves as a bridge in the evolution of military space. I'm going to say that again. Bridge in the evolution of military space into the 21st century, and is the standard by which United States Space Command and its components will measure progress into the future. So to me, this is revolutionary stuff.
That's how I felt reading
U.S. Space Command dominating the space dimension of military operations to protect U.S. interests and investments. They're not talking about people. They're not talking about U.S. citizens. U.S. interests and investment. Integrating space forces into war-fighting capabilities across the full spectrum of conflict. Now, this is an official document, folks, and we're going to be including it in your CD premium. There'll be MP3 of the interviews and these documents, as well as some of the legislation, well worth your pledge of $50 when you call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And remember, you can use your credit card, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, whatever you use is fine. It can be credit, it can be debit. They all work. 212-209-2950. Ask for Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon, a $50 pledge to support WBAI Radio. 212-209-2950. And do you want to set up the next clip?
The next clip is going to be our last clip. Well, the last one that I have for Bruce Gagnon. And we're going to talk about Barack Obama and the way in which his administration helped this blueprint move along through legislation, by actually expanding the missile defense system from just the realm of the U.S., inviting NATO to be part of it, and thereby inviting Europe to be a part of it, thereby opening the doors to encircling both Russia and China.
Oh, my. Let's see what we have to hear from this particular clip. I'm sure Russia and China are not too pleased. Neither are we here in the U.S. very pleased about the plans to bring nuclear war into space. There's no end to the insanity of our collective leadership in this country. The number is 212-209-2950. Make your pledge of support. $50 is what we are asking you to pledge. $50 for the CD Nuclear Space with Gunderson and Gagnon, and it includes the official document on the historic the perspective of military space. United States Space Command Vision for 2020 will be included on your CD. So make that phone call, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We'll be back after this.
to concentrate a bit on things happening on the earth right now, particularly the encircling of Russia and China as a strategic means to control them. Can you please speak to the expanded phase that Obama has established to expand missile defense from just the U.S. to incorporate NATO and its efforts into a pan-European enterprise?
Yep. Let me first explain what missile defense is. It's really misnamed, and I'm sure intentionally on the part of the Pentagon, because it really has nothing to do with defense at all. It's really missile offense. The idea is that, and in fact, everything that I'm now going to tell you, that it's annually war-gamed by the U.S. Space Command. Every year, they war-game, set in the year 2017, the first strike attack on Russia and China. So the United States launches various weapon systems, some nuclear, some non-nuclear, trying to take out Russia or China's nuclear weapons in a first strike attack. And then those two countries, with their remaining retaliatory capability after they've been hit, they then fire that retaliatory capability. And missile defense systems would then be used to try to pick off that retaliatory strike by Russia and China, giving the U.S. a quote-unquote successful first strike attack. And so today, the United States is surrounding, and has been for some years, both Russia and China with these missile defense systems. Some of them are ground-based. Some of them are onboard Navy destroyers, Aegis destroyers made where I live here in Bath, Maine, at Bath Iron Works. These destroyers are outfitted with missile interceptor missiles that get real close to either Russia or China, going into the Black Sea or the Baltic Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, etc. In the years ahead, they plan to put them in the Barents and the Bering Sea, beginning a complete encirclement of Russia. These systems are also now being deployed in Romania, Poland, radar in Turkey to direct it all. At the same time, the United States is surrounding China with these land-based and sea-based missile defense systems going into South Korea, Japan, Okinawa, Guam, Taiwan, and on ships throughout the region, bumping up against the coast of China. And so both China and Russia have repeatedly said in the last several years, forget about any more negotiations for reductions of nuclear weapons. We can't afford to do it now, because why would we reduce our retaliatory capability at the very time that you're creating these missile defense systems? It doesn't make any sense. And in fact, missile defense used to be illegal. The United States and the former Soviet Union had a treaty called the ABM Treaty, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, that outlawed these systems. When the Soviet Union collapsed, that treaty carried over to Russia. But when George W. Bush became president, he pulled the United States out of the ABM Treaty, and these missile defense deployments have been on steroids ever since. And so this is a very dangerous a new round in the arms race, because when you had the old system of mutual assured destruction, both sides could blow each other up. That was a kind of a deterrent, and it froze both sides. Neither would take a chance. But now you introduce these missile defense systems, the shield, essentially, that you would use after you stick a sword in the heart of the other country. And then they try to retaliate. You have your shield to pick off their retaliation. That gives you the quote-unquote victory. Gives you a little more incentive, a little more feeling that you can do a first strike and get away with it, and that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous for world peace, and it's driving military budgets higher and higher and higher. In fact, the United States has long said that this entire Star Wars program, moving the arms race into space, will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth. Now, where will they get all that money to pay for it? That's a big question, because it's so expensive. I mean, it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to build a satellite. It costs hundreds of millions of dollars to build a rocket. You then try to launch the satellite, the rocket blows up, you have to start all over again. This happens quite often. And so it's just a huge financial drain. some years ago in one of the industry publications that I read called Space News, they had an editorial that said, "We are now sending our lobbyists to Washington to secure a permanent funding source for all these things in space." And they then identified what that funding source was. They said it's the entitlement programs that officially in America are Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and what's left of the welfare program after Bill Clinton got finished taking it apart. These are the programs that the military-industrial complex, the weapons corporations, the aerospace industry have identified for shutting down in order to pay for all of this madness. And so if you listen closely to politicians today, you hear them talking about cuts in Social Security, cuts in Medicare, cuts in Medicaid, more and more cuts in welfare. And so these are the programs.
There's a war. And the rumors of war. Try to fool the black population by telling them that Jah Jah pays. I and I knows that Jah know day. Jah know day. Jah know day, Jah know day, Jah know day, Jah know day, Jah know day do. No, whoa, whoa, Jah know day. My knowledge increase, my memory fled, Marcus Garvey did say, a rumor, 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 and my heart could see. A rumor, 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 and my heart could see. John O'Day. John O'Day. It was Hyman who said, it's green and gold, it's the rainbow. The lion did crown the king. The lion did crown the king. In Addis Ababa, ha 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 ha, Africa. Janabi, Janabi, Janabi. Meet me at the bank at the beautiful river. When your journey has end, I and I will discuss about this matter. John O'Day. John O'Day. John O'Day.
And we are returning. This is Paulette Spencer, and I'm here with
Catherine Davis
on Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And I am truly delighted to be here and have the opportunity to present my very first premium package that I've ever put together in my life. And I've drawn inspiration from this station after having listened for a good almost 30 years now. And so this station has been my university for journalism and for so many things. And so this is a bit of the fruit of my learning. And our next speaker or person I interviewed is Mr. Arne Gundersen, who is a nuclear engineer. And he is essentially right now running an organization with his wife that provides education to the public on nuclear energy. And he was the a main voice in reporting on the effects of the aftermath of the nuclear accident at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear energy plant farm in Fukushima, Japan, which took place on March 11th, 2011. And so when I spoke to Mr. Gundersen, which was in January, he told me that he was getting ready to travel to Japan for the five-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And so that was the basis of our conversation. And so what I've done is given you a taste of our discussion. We talk about the repercussions that the accident had on the health status of the population living in Fukushima. We also discuss a bit of the science to understand how these radioactive particles act once you actually ingest them. We then move on to talk about the environment and how the Pacific Ocean was contaminated by this water, this runoff water, and how that actually works its way up to the food chain. And a bit, again, it's not easy listening always, but I do believe that it's necessary. And so I believe that this is, like the Gagnon, quite eye-opening, quite enlightening. And we end our conversation with a discussion about the Indian Point nuclear power plant here in New York.
Well, let's hope we can get through all of this information because it's pretty mind-blowing, and it really gives some perspective to what's happening in our world. Make that phone call, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. We're asking for your pledge in the amount of $50, and we'll thank you with this composite CD, Gunderson Interview and Gagnon Interview, along with some relevant documentation. It's a $50 pledge when you call 212-209-2950. And I'm going to go ahead and start the audio clip.
I first wanted to discuss issues surrounding the health of the population in Japan, specifically in the communities surrounding Fukushima. I understand that quite a few of the engineers working at the nuclear plants took ill with radiation sickness, and many people in the communities are also showing signs, for instance, of thyroid cancer. Can you please elaborate on that?
Yeah, there's a statistically meaningful increase in thyroid cancers. It's about 200 times higher than what it normally would be in a population. So that's a big deal. I mean, we're not talking about 50%. We're talking about 200 times or 20,000% higher thyroid cancers in the population. And we're just at the beginning of the wave. You know, the thyroid cancers begin to manifest out at about 5 years to 10, and then they continue for life, but the wave seems to crest in the second 5 years after the accident. So we're just now seeing the beginnings of that wave of thyroid cancers. Tokyo Electric has announced that several of its employees have cancer that are directly attributable to the nuclear accident. And the government in Japan has said that 2,000 people have died as a result of the accident.
Before we finish the assumption list, I wondered if you could elaborate on the science behind the internal effects of a single isotope of cesium or strontium in a person's body?
Yeah, you know, what the International Atomic Energy Agency is doing, and by the way, they are not a watchdog. Article 2 of their chapter says that their job is to promote nuclear power. So when you hear the IAEA says everything is safe, just realize that you're not talking to a watchdog, you're talking to a promoter of nuclear power. But what the IAEA does is they just are measuring the exposure from a meter as they walk around the site and they walk around the state of Fukushima Prefecture. And that's an external exposure. And nobody is taking a look at the internal exposure that people are getting in Japan from their lungs or in their livers or in their stomach or their GI tract. What happens is one of these hot particles lodges in there, and it usually is electronegative. So when it gets into the wet lung tissue, it attaches. It ionically attaches into the lung and doesn't ever come out. So from there, it just pounds away. And what the nuclear industry does is they take the energy from that little hot particle and they assume it's distributed over a pound of lung or a pound of liver. But that's really not what happens. The energy is distributed much closer to home. That particle is pounding away on a couple of ounces or even less of the tissue immediately around it. And that tissue is picking up an enormous amount of energy, which leads to DNA breakdown, which leads to cancer.
Across the cross, I guess it all depends which side you're on, whether you're when you feel locked up or free to move on, confess it. All depends which ride you're on, whether you see pitch black or a light to keep on it. Come on, come on, come on, yeah. Whether you see pitch black or a light to keep on it, come on, shake up the nations, we need ventilation, obtained information, gathered in the bottom of a nuclear reactor, nothing new or clear about the cloudy factors, shady tactics, army of paid actors, hard dry like cactus, black rain back in the day, pool disastrous, we're putting our children at risk, dating with an asterisk, power to the activists. Yeah, yeah, data with an asterisk, power to the active, 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 active. Alpha, beta, gamma rays, any way you like it. Now we're living in omega days. Seem like we're trapped in a sci-fi anime. Clean room, byproducts, contaminant. Lab workers with laminates, cats wreck. Too late to reach for the medicine cabinet. The only fusion happening around mass confusion. Need for deep contemplation. Cut through the noise, mad concentration. Camps built on purpose of tax evasion. Politicians swear by their shifty cranium. Wicked wet dreams, pure forms of uranium. Multiple platinum and rich plutonium. In propaganda from a sponsored podium. Uno hit like one, the sound of thunder. Another faux pas, irreversible blunder. Thermal recording in a pressurized chamber. Tweak the heat meter, well see through you later. Bombs get smarter while soldiers get dumber. Drive a Hummer now, winter hot like summer. Summer cold like winter now. Who's in the winter circle? Hoops broken, ice caps getting thinner. How do we stop a force so damn powerful? Have to counter with the bigger voice, so let a mouthful of noise begin. Let the bad boys know they can't play with the toys no more. Before they blow up in the face, strapping the flying everywhere is slow-mo. Ricochet off the wall and sting in reality. Don't let the mothers tally up the fatalities. Judgment soon come beyond the duality. Say what? Say what? Judgment soon come beyond the duality. So why let the silence kill a true utterance? Why make the homeless scrub up your gutter? And who let the science build the righteous teachers? We let defiance lift the moon from the creatures. Treasures are stolen then dumped in the ocean. Oh, why are we doomed to a motherland caution? Murder she wrote in her will in a eulogy. Offsprings cremate her to create energy. Smoke rise, holy figures burnt in effigy. Solar eclipse on the night of an apogee. Earth spin around the doomsday clock. Missing around now, the whole building block is hot. Slagging rocks on the fly, walking on a tight cabling. Gambling on top of the periodic table, mate. Fate bring together minds that are able to express from an independent label to rep a hard knock cradle. It's time to rock a show. Let the name ring worldwide, rock a show. What you don't need for show, yet another Chernobyl. Leaks like hope, but till then remain hopeful. My people, I wanna see the whole plot. Like a constellation, you connect the dots. See the outline of a master plan at hand. Train line named Desire, heading for disaster. Charge like plasma, shatter like plaster. Cause we wanna get from point A to B faster. Take your soul on an auction bid. Better yet, set yourself a vibration, kid. This theater has no spin, like a turbine. No script set for this year by the genuine population. Path we must take for a major alteration. Extreme consumption to wise moderation. Enough of the debating. Get up in the morning just to see what we're facing. Enough of the debasing. Get up in the morning just to see what we're facing. And that's real, real, real. Uh-oh, wake up the nations, we need ventilation, obtained information, gathered in the bottom of a nuclear reactor, nothing new or clear about the cloudy factors, shady tactics, army of paid actors, hard dry like cactus, black rain back in the day, pool disastrous, we're putting our children at risk, dating with an asterisk, power to the activists. We're putting our future at risk. Dating with an asterisk. Power to the activists.
amazing music.
Yes, indeed. That comes to us from the Japanese group called Nomak. And I think the name of the song is Rakasho. And they, of course, are talking about nuclear energy in mm-hmm. Japan. So I thought it was apropos to play
very
this
much
time.
So. Very much so.
And so we are going to move on. Our next clip with Mr. Arne Gunderson covers the environment. And we speak about the effects of the efforts to cool down the cores that were exposed in the nuclear plant unit buildings by pouring water on them. And in many cases, the heat of the cores actually had melted the cement and gone through the bottom of the buildings. So you'll hear me ask Mr. Gunderson about the efficiency of pouring water through the ceiling or the from above the building to watch it actually just go right through the building and come out through the basement floor. And so it's a very, very, very serious situation there. And you'll hear his response. And so we also then talk about the fish in the ocean. And I think you'll find that interesting as well as a discussion.
And we are going to